The 2020 Commodity Classic was held February 27th to 29th in San Antonio, Texas. Along with that was also the annual Corn Congress. Session 1 was on February 27th, and Session 2 was on February 29th. And joining the Colorado Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio at this time to recap both events are three members of Colorado Corn, including Kim Redden, Communications Director, Randy Winger, CCGA's Secretary, Chair of Public Policy, and Colorado's Voting Delegate for Corn Congress from Yuma, and Mike Lefevre, Board Member for the NCGA and the At-Large Director for the CCAC out of Longmont. Let's first off begin with Kim Redden, Communications Director of Colorado Corn. I understand there's also been a new Executive Director that was hired at Colorado Corn to replace the retired Mark Sponsor.
Yes, Brian. We are happy to have Nick Colglazer on board as the new Executive Director. And he experienced his first Commodity Classic and Corn Congress this week, even led our caucus meetings this week. So he jumped with both feet.
And there's more information about Nick's position and his background online inside the barn, courtesy of Colorado Corn. And we sure miss and wish Mark Sponsor all the best in retirement. And let's get into our main topic discussion. Give me a general overview of why Colorado Corn Growers are involved at the Commodity Classic and at Corn Congress, and who attended this year besides Nick Colglazer, and I know you were there.
Correct. I'll give a rundown of all of the folks in the state that was at least board members or board leaders who were present. First time attendee to Commodity Classic and Corn Congress was Josh Hassert from out at Bethune. And then we also had our leaders. And we had two first-time attendees, actually, I should say. Matt Mulch, who is from Burlington, his first time there. Both those gentlemen serve on the administrative committee. In addition to those first-timers, we had several folks who were along the part of the team who are, we'll say, veterans. They've been more than once. And that included Troy Snyder, Rod and Lily Hahn, Kyle McConnell, Jeff Self, Mike Lefevre, Justin Self, Dave Kerr, and of course, Randy Winger, who's on joining us today. And it was a great opportunity for these 11 board members to represent the Colorado Corn Growers during Congress and during Commodity Classic. Congress is the semi-annual policy meeting that's held. NCGA is the one that puts that together. And I'll let Randy dig into those details when he talks. But that is really the thrust of the reason that we go to Corn Congress, is to represent our state on those national policy issues, to hear from the other states on what's happening on a state level with their states. There's oftentimes overlap in the issues that we're dealing with here. Meat labeling bill would be an example of that. Also meeting with other staff in regards to what's happening on other fronts, be it soil health, water quality, or the research that's happening in those states. For an example, as a staff person, I can tell you my schedule was packed, Brian, and Randy knows that as he witnessed me buzzing in and out of all these rooms, taking on meetings. But I'll just kind of run down a list of some of the meetings and activities that Nick and I were involved in. And those include a couple of pesticide registration discussions with the EPA and other advisories. We were part of a right to repair discussion, high octane meeting, and several different ethanol meetings. We attended a farm policy meeting, which Randy will talk a little bit more about in depth. And of course, we attended our state caucus meetings, and these are an opportunity for us to get together with our caucus is combined with Kansas and North Dakota. Again, something that Randy will touch on. I'm sort of just giving the introductory there, but we also, as staff, met with our cohort. Market development staff met, and we had several discussions on some of the opportunities available for us, both with ethanol, livestock, and other areas of market development that the different states are working on. And Nick, of course, met with the other executives from around the country, insightful as to how they're handling things at their state level, and comparing notes. It's always a great opportunity.
So what was your favorite part about going, and how many times have you been to Commodity Classic, Kim?
This marks my third Commodity Classic, And I've just completed my 2-year mark with Colorado Corn Administrative Committee and the Growers Association. And hands down, getting to see and meet with my counterparts in other states is very valuable to me. And also the opportunity to have FaceTime with all the board members. It's a great opportunity to just have conversations on the spur of the moment based on the meetings that we're going to as we're popping in and out of these meetings and having discussions face-to-face and having the opportunity to talk to other states. It's just a real benefit that we bring back here to Colorado at the end of Commodity Classic and Corn Congress every time we do it.
Once again, my guest, Kim Redden, Communications Director at Colorado Corn. I want to bring in our next guest, Randy Winger, the Colorado Corn Growers Association Secretary, Chair of Public Policy, and also Colorado's voting delegate for Corn Congress. He's out of Yuma. And for you, Randy, give me an overview of what happened during Corn Congress sessions, which, as I mentioned, were on Thursday and Saturday of last week.
Thanks, Brian. As we know, that this is a biannual event to look over the policy and guidelines of NCGA. And we get a list of resolutions prior to the meeting, and so we can overview the resolution to the policies, and our board and our staff has looked it over and we discussed it. If we had questions, we either reach out to the people who propose the resolutions or whatever, and base our decisions off of that. And so with that, that helps me as a delegate that, as I said in Corn Congress, I have a clear direction on how we should vote for these resolutions. So most of the resolutions that we had was involved in the ethanol industry. Of course, we're pushing for higher blend fuels from E10 to E15. So that changes some of the policies. Also, some of the issues involving infrastructure and soil and water health. Along with that, we had a farm program meeting, talked about updated T-yields, and we talked about the WHIP Plus. They included drought and excessive moisture in the WHIP program. And also it was mentioned that preventive planting coverage was continuous. If you had it last year, you can have it next year. So that's kind of in a nutshell.
Just so our listeners know, WHIP Plus means Wildfires and Hurricane Indemnity Program Plus. And the sign-up is going on through March 23rd of 2020. And you can learn more about that at usda.gov. Tell me a little bit more about the value of the U.S. Meat Export Federation and the exports of red meat last year, because I hear that the outlook for exports this year will be a direct benefit to Colorado, especially with these trade agreements being taken care of.
Yes, I'm glad you asked. USMEF export meat to other countries, and they always brag, and I think it's a bragging right, that they give 39 cents back for every dollar they receive. During their report, that the export numbers were slightly down because of the tariffs, but we're very optimistic that the export market seems to keep growing in other countries. So I feel it's a very well worth organization that really does a good job for us.
Yeah, it's definitely more optimistic going into 2020 than it was last year or the year before. Because besides USMCA, US-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, you got the Phase 1 trade deal, although there's some problems right now in the side for coronavirus anyway, getting the items shipped to ports and the dock workers that are involved and shut down across the world. But you also got the Japan trade agreement. You've got another one that they're working on with the United Kingdom and also with Great Britain with Brexit once it's completed. So there is a lot more optimism than there has been in the past. And then wanted to move, Randy, to Colorado Corn Growers Association's policy direction and priorities from Corn Congress. Tell me more about that as we go into 2020. I understand you're watching quite a few bills here in Colorado, right?
We're watching quite a few bills in the state legislation. We're watching 29 bills. We have taken positions on 4, 3 we support and 1 we oppose.
And the bills you support are House Bill 20-1003, and then also Senate Bill 20-002, Senate Bill 20-050, and you oppose House Bill 20-1117. Do you want to give us just kind of an idea what each one of those are?
Okay. House Bill 1003 is the Rural Jumpstart Act modification. The Senate Bill 002 is the Rural Economic Development Initiative Grant Program. And the Senate bills we're supporting is Senate Bill 050 is Rural Development Grant Program Creation. They are economic development for rural areas and hospitals. The House Bill 1117 is a mislabeling of non-meat and imported artificial meat. That bill we are opposing.
On that last one, there's a lot of friends of mine that are supporting it and a lot of friends of mine that aren't supporting it, but it's just not written correctly. It's not like we don't want to know where our meat comes from. That's not the point. It's just not written correctly to keep us out of trade problems. And I think that's the big, on the opposition side, that's what's going on.
Also, Brian, that many people feel like this is a federal issue and not a state issue.
Right.
But that's not the reason why we decided to oppose.
Let's move on to our next guest, Mike LaFever, board member for the National Corn Growers Association and the at-large director for the Colorado Corn Administrative Committee out of Longmont. And I know Mike's the world traveler. He's been all over the country in the past few months. So, Mike, welcome inside the barn.
Thank you, Brian.
Hey, tell me more about the National PAC auction record-breaking outcome and what PAC's all about and the importance of it to the industry itself, because you're part of that committee.
Yes, I am, Brian. Thank you for asking. The PAC committee at the national level, we have a lot of sponsors that bring things in for us that we can auction off. We have a silent auction and a live auction. And this year, we broke the record for that. We raised $166,000 at the PAC auction. And one of our guys from here from Colorado, Scott Wall, was our auctioneer, and he volunteers every year to come down there and do that for us to help us out. And that money is used for not only Republican and Democrat, but we give that money to people that support the agriculture cause, corn, wheat, and all of our grains.
So that would be the Political Action Committee for NCGA, right?
That is correct.
Now tell me more about the Canadian Grain Growers Meeting, some of the discussion points, because we got the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement completed, but I don't know if Canada's ratified that yet, right?
That is correct. They have not ratified it, and the guys we talked to said they're hoping it's going to get done by August. They said they have kind of a political issue like we have. Of course, not one party doesn't want to give credit to the other party, and so they're kind of going through that right now, but they're optimistic that it's going to get signed by August, but everybody seems to be happy with it. When we met with the Canadian growers, a couple of the big points that they brought up was the carbon credits, and we're hoping that that's going to be a benefit for American farmers right now. For them, their government is charging them up to $40 per acre towards the carbon credits. And that's they say that because they're harvesting that grain off of there and that they're taking the carbon out of the ground, which is simply not true. They're doing no-till just like we are. They are actually bringing the carbon back into the ground. And so I did ask him, where does that money go to? And he says, well, they distribute amongst those that aren't as fortunate. So I'll leave that up to the listeners to decide what kind of a system that is.
I hope Capitol Hill and this state legislature doesn't get wind of that.
Well, I would guess that they're probably there's a big thing that's going to be going on. I can't speak of it. They told us a little bit about it, but asked us to keep it. It will be the outcome of their issue that's going on right now. It will be positive for them, and it will be definitely positive for all the American farmers.
And they're also having some transportation challenges right now, too, right? There's a rail strike or something?
Yes, there is, and so that hurts them. You know, Canada being our top two, one of the top two ethanol importers of U.S. ethanol, That's a big deal, and that which brings us to another issue is the river transportation on the Mississippi, all locks and dams, Mississippi, the Ohio, the Illinois, all these rivers, and our locks and dams, as you know, are crumbling, and not to mention that the tugs, the barges are 1,200 foot long, and a couple of our locks and dams are only 600. So if you can kind of picture breaking these barges in two, anchoring them on one side, going through the lock, anchor them on the other side, go back through the lock, pick it back up, back through the lock, pick it over the other one, hook it back together, and do that 29 times up the Mississippi. It's ridiculous. And the thing that scares me as much as anything, Brian, is that other countries are pouring money into Brazil for their infrastructure, which is one of our big competitors for corn. And Once that gets done, they're going to be very, very competitive on transportation. Now, their corn is a little bit cheaper than ours, and it's Flint corn, but the countries are most interested because of the transportation costs. And right now, America is the cheapest way to transport that. But within a few years, maybe 5 or 6 years, they're going to be caught up with us. So I would encourage everybody to get a hold of their congressmen and their senators and encourage them to pass that infrastructure bill. Let's get these doggone things built up, because once we lose a customer, it's very difficult to get them back.
Well, no kidding about that. And you know what? We had flooding last year along the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. I'm sure that was also a topic of discussion. They got flooding again down in the Louisiana and Mississippi areas again. If they ever get some infrastructure money, when will they have time to get it fixed?
Yeah, that's a good question, because they still haven't fixed all the levees that were breached from the flood this last year. And so a lot of that has to go to rail. And, I'm trying to remember the exact number of rail cars per barge, but the barge transportation is about roughly 25 cents a bushel cheaper to go by barge than it is rail. But rail is a great backup, and it's a great way that we go to Canada with it. It's a great way we go to Mexico with it. So that flood affects those too. So they got to reroute those rail lines, and it adds a lot of miles to it. So it's so imperative we get these locks and dams repaired so we can handle those floods and try to control that just a little bit.
Yeah, and get our commodities to port, which is where it needs to go, so we can start exercising our exports to these trade deals that have been signed, even though we got the coronavirus deal hanging over everybody to get commodities shipped. You mentioned price per bushel. Boy, we got to have some help there. And I'm hoping on the wheat and the corn and the cattle side and the dairy side that we get some price help pretty quick. Not from the government. We want trade, not aid. And I'm sure that most producers think that way, if not everybody. I wanted to also mention the 2020 Commodity Classic had some record-breaking attendance this year. Tell me more about that and some of the things you learned while you were there.
We did have record-breaking attendance this year. We had over 4,685 farmers that are, most of those are members of the National Corn Growers and their state organization, corn organizations. We did break record also. We had over 9,000. I think 9,200 and some change on total attendance. So that was incredibly great to have that many people there. On top of that, next year is our 25th anniversary of the Corn Classic. It is going to be held in San Antonio. I'll tell you what, those that haven't been down there, you need to go down there. San Antonio is a wonderful town, the Riverwalk. It's a lot of fun for the wives to be able to do stuff. We have a great meeting facility with the Grand Hyatt and the Convention Center. They've really done a good job for all of our meetings, and I would encourage everybody next year to get down there. It's going to be a great celebration.
Yeah, the Silver Celebration, 25 years, the Commodity Classic, March 4th through the 6th in San Antonio. Is this the first time it's been held at the same location 2 years in a row?
That is correct.
Kim, before I let you guys go, any upcoming Colorado corn events you wanted to mention? I know there's a trade school coming up in Burlington March 11th and 12th. Is there still time to get registered for that, and what is it all about?
We're doing 2 half-days with the original intention behind that, I believe, was giving folks time to get in that day, take in the detailed information being provided in part by the U.S. Grains Council and also the National Corn Growers Association on trade. And you don't have to come both days, but it's intended to be taken in 2 half-day segments. So we'll have Don Brown speaking on Wednesday, and we're also going to hear from the U.S. Meat Export Federation representative, Cheyenne McAdepper, and have U.S. Grains' Melissa Kessler giving some information and some background on trade that day. We'll have snacks there that morning. We're going to be at the Burlington Community Center. And then that afternoon, we're hoping folks will go out, mingle, mix, have dinner together. And Thursday morning, we'll reconvene. And we've got several different trade folks coming in from U.S. Grains, a couple of them coming in to talk specifically about the work that they've been doing in other countries, the test market and development that they've been doing out of country, and also two of our own representatives from our board, Troy Schneider and Mike Lefevre, have also recently been on different trade missions with U.S. Grains, but albeit very interesting and unique to themselves. So they'll also be sharing their experience on what that means specifically for Colorado and the broader industry of corn and grain in general. And I think folks will be really excited about that. We're also having a guest speaker from CoBank join us. And we're going to wrap up our trade school on Thursday by noon with a big lunch for everybody.
So if they're still interested in getting registered, is there a deadline to get that done, and how will they do so?
We'd certainly like people to sign up so that we know how many are coming, and if there's anybody interested out there, just try to get signed up as soon as possible.
Once again, that trade school that's coming to Burlington March 11th and 12th is co-hosted by the U.S. Grains Council, the National Corn Growers Association, and, of course, Cobbler Corn. Any other events or anything else you wanted to mention before I let you go, either for you, Kim, or Randy, or Mike?
We're certainly making some plans to be at the Capitol on the 25th of March for Colorado Ag Day at the Capitol.
You bet. Don't want to forget that, that's for sure. Randy, any final thoughts from you?
I feel honored to be selected as a delegate for National Corn Growers on behalf of Colorado Corn. It was a chance for me to see decisions made on a national level, and it's a very humbling experience for me. So, yes, I'm very appreciative of it.
How about for you, Mike?
Well, I think that, you know, we have our next Corn Congress coming up on in July 15th in Washington, D.C., where we'll be voting on a lot of the resolutions and issues. And some of these touch Colorado also with, you know, trade touches everybody. I don't care where you're at along the river, it touches everybody because our corn is priced on the board. The board's price is priced depending on how much corn is sitting in the big corn state. So it's to our advantage to help everybody move their corn, move ethanol, move DDGs along the way. The one thing I do want to touch on, though, that Colorado Corn has agreed to pitch in with Kansas and some other states to get a container of DDGs down the Dominican. We went, when I was on this tour down in Central America, we met with the Minister of Agriculture at the Dominican, and they're willing to get a container, which is about 25 tons. If we pay for it to get down there, they'll have their somebody from the university down there, the U.S. Grains Council, and one of the nutritionists. We know what the results are going to be. We're just going to prove it to them. And if that opens up, that's going to be in excess of 100,000 metric ton market right there.
Hey, before I let you go, too, I want to ask you, any news from the All-American Beef Battalion? I know you guys support that group and that organization throughout the year.
Yes, we're doing the feeds and stuff on that. We just did one up in Cheyenne, the Air Force Base up there, just a small one with some groups coming back. Well, this announcement with the Taliban and that treaty, you know, praying to God that that all goes through just like it's supposed to and we can get some real peace and bring our soldiers back. We expect an awful lot of steaks to be fed this year.
Speaking of the All-American Beef Battalion, United States Senator Cory Gardner had a congressional recognition of the organization. And as I mentioned, Colorado Corn is a proud supporter of that. They're a volunteer organization that travels the United States feeding our nation's troops and their families, and they're always looking for donations. You can learn more about the All-American Beef Battalion, by the way, online at steakfortroops.com, and you can check out U.S. Senator Cory Gardner's congressional recognition of the All-American Beef Battalion online inside the barn or, of course, at coloradocorn.com. Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate your thoughts on that.
My pleasure, Brian. Thanks for asking.
Well, I really appreciate all three of your guys' times. Kim Redden, Communications Director at Colorado Corn. Randy Winger, CCGA Secretary, Chair of Public Policy, and Colorado's Voting Delegate for Corn Congress out of Yuma. And also Mike Lefevre, Board Member for the National Corn Growers Association and the At-Large Director for the Colorado Corn Administrative Committee out of Longmont. Really appreciate your time. I look forward to our visit right here inside the barn next time.
Thank you, Brian.
Don't forget, if you'd like to learn more about the Colorado Corn Growers Association or the Colorado Corn Administrative Committee, visit their website at coloradocorn.com, or I invite you to check out all the other social media pages online at Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or YouTube.